أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، الملك الحق المبين، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المزداة والسراج المنير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد، واتقوا الله إن الله خبيرا بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. Dear brothers and sisters, today we want to continue along the same subject we were discussing last week. Just to remind you, last week we indicated that Ramadan is on next week, and that we all know the advantages of Ramadan, we all know the blessings in Ramadan, and we all know that Ramadan is really a period for training, to train ourselves. Because if during Ramadan we can abstain from what is allowable, we can abstain from food and drink and other things during the day, and if we can hold back and control ourselves, it's a very good training, which means that after Ramadan we can abstain of what is from everything that is haram. And also, we also touched very quickly about what we can achieve in Ramadan and how it is important to have a plan to make the maximum use of Ramadan. However, as we discussed last week, let's try to make this Ramadan a special one. Let's take it to the next stage, if you like. Now, let's take a minute and just ponder a bit. Step back and look at life. Look at our life. Let's see what we're doing there. Now, according to Islam, life is a path. It's a journey. We all go through it. We all do the traveling. It's a way to Allah. And that's why in Al-Fatiha we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. It's a straight path that goes through life, and then after death, it goes all the way until it goes through a sirat, which we'll all have to cross on the Day of Judgment. During this path, during this travel, obstacles come in. Obstacles that are created by a shaitan. Obstacles that come from ourselves, from ourselves, from our weaknesses. Obstacles that come from shayateen al-ins, you know, the bad companies. Lots of obstacles that we can come through and we have to overcome. So it's important to stay focused so that we don't divert too much out of the straight path, and inshallah we get to the straight path in the hereafter. And this is where we want to go, inshallah. Allah tells us in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ طِينٍ. He has created you from mud, from clay. وَقَضَى أَجَلٌ وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى عِنْدَ. قَضَى أَجَلٌ, he has determined a certain time. So you've been allotted a certain time. Everybody's got a few years to live in this life. There's no time for death. You can die young or old. So you've got an allotted time in this world. وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى عِنْدُ. This is the ajal, the second ajal. It is the Day of Judgment. So it is a clear indication that we are here for a certain period of time. And after this, we are all going to go to the Day of Judgment, inshallah. So it's important that we make maximum use of the time we have here. So going back to the same example I said, life is a journey. We are traveling through the journey. Now, if you imagine that you are traveling, say, from here to Scotland or anywhere else, right? You need to progress every day. If you don't make progress every day, then your journey is wasted. So if you imagine that we are a journey to Allah, we need to try and make some progress every day. We mustn't allow a day to pass by. We mustn't just kill time or waste time without improving. So a day that passes without improving ourselves, without taking a few steps towards Allah, is a day that's wasted from our life. And this is the most, this is the asset that we all have that's irreplaceable. Money can be replaced. Everything can be replaced. Time cannot be replaced. A day that passes doesn't come back again. A day that passes from our lives is irreplaceable. And to be able to make maximum use of our time, to make sure that we don't waste our life, we need two things. We need the knowledge. We need to know what to do. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know how is the path to Allah, then you won't know what to do and you will just waste time. So we need the knowledge, and then we need the action. We need to work, have action based on what we have learned. So we need the two things together. We need to learn what to do. We need to learn how to make use of our life. And then we need action, implementing what we have learned. And this is exactly what we have to do. One of the famous du'as that Prophet ﷺ has taught us is, Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa qini sharra nafsi. Oh Allah, please teach me the way, show me the way, and protect me from myself. Because the self is the biggest enemy that we face. Generally speaking, the self wants to be lazy, and nafs wants to be lazy, wants to do all the things that are wrong, wants to, you know, indulge in food, indulge in drink, indulge in activities that shouldn't be indulged in, because this is how the nafs is. And Allah tells us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Whoever will be able to train himself, the nafs, then he will find the straight path. And whoever just gives in to all its whims and desires is going to go astray. So this is what Ramadan is really about. It's training of nafs. It's training to control yourself, controlling the desires. So the first step, the first stage that we all pass through to be able to go onto the straight path to Allah, inshaAllah, is what the scholars call marhalat al-yaqaza, or manzilat al-yaqaza. It's the state of awakening, or if you like, rude awakening. Now, if somebody had a very important interview, or had an exam, and you overslept, your alarm clock didn't go, and you wake up and you look at your clock, and you find, oh, I should be in my interview place in 10 minutes, or my exam starts in 5 minutes. What happens? You jump out of bed. That's a rude awakening. You jump out of bed and you're anxious. Your heart beats quickly. You want to take action. This is exactly what the scholars call al-yaqaza, the awakening. But the awakening to the realization of what we are doing in life. Sometime, some people have this awakening. And they suddenly realize, hang on, what am I doing? Where am I? What's happening in life? Why am I here? And then, following this rude awakening, he starts or she starts to think, and starts to plan, and starts to acquire the knowledge, and then starts to act on this knowledge, and then this person is on the straight path to Allah, Sirat al-Mustaqim. Unfortunately, a lot of people, as a matter of fact, as the Quran informs us, most of the people will go through life without even knowing what were they there for. All what they're concentrating on is having fun, pleasure, accumulating money, accumulating whatever, And then all of a sudden they are hit by the fact that they are going to die and leave all this thing behind. And suddenly they realize, hang on, what has my life been all about? So they get this rude, everybody gets this rude awakening. The question is, do you get it while you still have time to act? Or do you get this rude awakening in the moment of death, when it's too late to do anything about it? The Quran tells us about that, that at the moment of death, it says, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَنَظَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. So we've removed all veils from your eyes. And now you see things as they really are. That's at the moment of death. Everybody passes through this experience. So, inshallah, we don't want to have to be there. We need to wake up now. We need to try to go through this stage now and try to acquire the knowledge and act upon this knowledge now before it's too late. So, as I said, when you have this wake-up call, and this wake-up call, by the way, can be caused by many things. Some people have it through a near-death experience. Some people have it through hard times, through hardships. Sometimes it's just you listen to Quran and all of a sudden Allah throws this into your heart. Sometimes you listen to a khutbah and you decide to change your life. So whatever it is, different people have different wake-up calls. But when you get the wake-up call, make use of it. Because unfortunately, a lot of people get the wake-up call. You listen to a khutbah or to, you know, a talk, and you say, you know, that's right. I think it's about time I do something about it. And then you walk out of the mosque or whatever it is, and you just go back into life, and life takes you, and you forget about it. And you say, fine, I'll do that tomorrow or next week. You know what? As soon as I graduate, I'm going to start finding my way. You know what? When I get married. So you keep postponing it. And that's how we all are tempted to do. So it's important. If you have this feeling, if you get this feeling that it is time, I need to change my life, I want to change my life, it is now. There is no better time than now, because you might not have the time again. And that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Ramadan is next week, so why don't we make the decision to make this change now? Not tomorrow, not even next week, but today. Take the decision today, because once you take the decision, once the idea is really there in your mind and you're convinced of it, then you go to the next stage, which is the stage of determination. Then you're determined to make the change. Once you make the determination to make your changes, you start to acquire the knowledge. Once you start to acquire the knowledge, you start acting on it. And then, and only then, is when Allah helps you. And He gives you what they call al-basira. Al-basira is difficult to translate, but the closest translation is the insight. Allah shows you the way. He helps you. He aids you. He gives you, you know, He shows you the straight path. And He helps you to stay on the straight path. But Allah only helps those who help themselves. If you don't take the initiative, if you don't take the first step, don't sit there and expect Allah to give you, you know, to show you the way. There's a very interesting hadith that I wasn't aware of, actually, and as I was just doing some research, I came across it, which is a hadith that's been narrated by Ibn Umar, which says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْغَضُ كُلُّ جَعْبَرِيٍّ جَوَّارٍ صَخَّابٌ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ جِيفَةٍ بِالْلَّيْلِ حِمَارٌ بِالنِّهَارِ. It's a bit of a difficult language, even in Arabic, for those who speak Arabic. But essentially what it says, that Allah dislikes كُلُّ جَعْبَرِيٍّ. The Ja'bari is somebody who is arrogant and feels that he's above everybody else and treats everybody else with arrogance and is quite rough in his treatment. Jawar, usually it's a wide description, but you get this sort of people that you see sometimes who are usually heavily built because they're too lazy to do any exercise and they are just loud, they are arrogant. صَخَّابٌ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. They are loud. When you see them, if they're doing any dealings, they speak in a loud voice and they're sort of always doing their dealings in a rough way. They don't deal with people in a nice way as we should do. Jifatun bil-layl. Jifatun bil-layl, he is By night time, he is so tired, he's so exhausted, he's all sweaty, he's smelly, and he's so tired that he just sleeps. He doesn't wake up for prayer. He doesn't, you know, he's heedless because he's so tired. All what he's concentrating on is gathering everything in life. Humar bin Nahar, he works like a donkey during the day. So this is an example of some people who are, A, just so involved, involved with life. They're just concentrating on life. I want this, I want that, I want to achieve this, I want to achieve that. And it doesn't matter. They are loud, they are arrogant. It's an example, I'm sure if you look around, you see a lot of people like that. And the Quran tells us, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And that's the warning. أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ. Most people know not, they don't know. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Most people know a lot about the world. You'll find that people who are, you know, they know about their specialties, if they are technicians, if they are doctors, if they are engineers, if they, whatever it is, they know a lot about, they know if they are businessmen, they know about, you know, what's happening with the shares and stocks, what's happening, what's the prediction. They are very knowledgeable about these things, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with this knowledge. But, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. But what about the hereafter? What about the straight path? They know nothing because they are heedless. They don't take the time to teach themselves. They don't take the time to learn about it. And that's why they waste their lives just chasing life. So, I'll move on very quickly where they've summarized the causes of heedlessness of the heart. Asbab ghaflat al-qalb. Why do some people have this heedlessness? You know, their hearts are sleeping or dead. They don't feel that, you know, that there's a purpose in life, what they're doing and so on. And they summarize it in seven reasons. One of them, and the first one, is ignorance of Allah. And if we ask ourselves, do you believe in Allah? Yes, I believe in Allah. Who is Allah? What is Allah? What is God? We don't really know. A lot of us don't really know what it is. You know, yes, we just hear, we hear people saying, yes, Allah is the creator, but who is he? What are his properties? You know, what are his special things about him? Who is Allah? So, we need to spend some time. One of the reasons why is that we just take things for face value, but we don't really understand it. The second cause is ignorance of the purpose of creation. If you ask a lot of people, why are we created? You know, why did Allah create us? You created, you're young, you work hard, you get older, you collect money, you get married, you have children, whatever, and then you die. So what was it all about? There is an answer to that, of course. But because of the ignorance of this, people tend to, their hearts tend to, you know, to go into a state of hibernation. The third cause of this is the fascination with the world. So you're fascinated with life. All what it's all about is, oh, I want this new car, the new model of telephone. I want a bigger house. I want another car. I want this, I want that, I want that. So all what you're preoccupied with is life. We're just going through life, preoccupied with life, trying to get more and more of it, without thinking, why are we doing that? So, just to summarize so that we don't go astray. First of all is, we need to answer the question, who is Allah? And two, why has He created us? What does He want from us? Why are we here? Three is the fascination with the world. Is it wrong to be successful? No. Is it wrong to work hard? No. The Sahaba worked hard. They were successful. Some of them were very rich. There's nothing wrong with all these things. But the idea is not to be completely indulged, completely preoccupied with the world. Then the fourth thing is bad company. Unfortunately, if you keep bad company, you will just be like everyone, like what they do. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalili, falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil." Everybody is going to be on the same religion, if you like, or the same wavelength as his friends. So look around and see who are you keeping company with. Who are your friends? If your friends are all involved in, for example, drugs and you know, things like that. That's what you're going to be doing as well. So choose your friends carefully. The fifth reason, the fifth cause of the heedlessness of the heart is following the whims of the self. متابعه النفس على ما تشتهي. And this is the most dangerous thing. A poet, an Egyptian poet called Ahmad Shawqi, said a very interesting poem which is quite right. He says, والنفس كالطفل إن تهمله شبع على حب الرضاع وإن تخطمه ينفطم. The nafs, the self, is like a little child. If you give him all what he wants, if the mother doesn't wean him off, he will continue to want to suckle the breast. He will continue to want to have the bottle. But if you taflimhu, if you wean him off the bottle, he will be weaned off and he will learn how to eat normal food. Although the mother might be suffering as she's doing that because her child is crying. But it is very true. It is the same, our nafs is the same like a little child. If we give in to what it wants, we will never be able to get what we want. For example, I'll give you a simple example which I'm sure a lot of us have passed through. Smoking. You smoke and then nafs, it wants you to, it's enticing you to smoke. So you want to give up smoking. So what do? You say, no, smoking is wrong, it's haram, it's a waste of money, it's a waste of health, I'll give up smoking. So what happens? The nafs doesn't let you leave you alone. It says, you know what, fine, okay, give up smoking, but don't buy cigarettes. But if somebody offers you one, you can take it. You know what, if you're going to a party, it's alright just to have a smoke. I'll have a smoke only if I go to a party. Or you know what, I'll only smoke in the weekends. It will find excuses. You can't do things this way. If you decide to give up smoking, you must treat it like a child. Give up smoking, go cold turkey. That's it, I'm going to give up smoking. If you want to do something, do it. Do it now. This is the nafs. Then the next thing is what they call al-jahru bil-ma'asiyah. Declaration of ill-doing. So if you're doing something wrong, inshallah you will do tawbah from it. But if you are doing it in public and you're not ashamed of it, it's very difficult to stop it. Then the final point that they put in is al-ikhtirar bil-hasana, which is you look at what you, the good deeds you do and you feel very proud of it. For example, say, let's take the example of Ramadan as it's coming now. You might say, you know what, I've fasted for 30 days. For 30 whole days, the long days, I've fasted all Ramadan. So what do you want of me? It's all right for me now just to give in a little bit. So what if I go and, you know, go and sit in the pub and maybe have a drink even. I've been good for 30 days. So this is one of the serious things that also you might fall in. You know, one night you might go and pray Taraweeh. And you say, oh, you know, last night I've been up all night, I've been praying, so it's all right if I just take it easy on myself today. It's not a question of taking it easy on yourself today, it's a question of being focused. It's a question of knowing what are you doing it. Why are you doing what you're doing? If you're doing ta'at, what are you doing it for? It's not for everybody, for somebody else, it's not for Allah, it's for your own sake. So these are sort of seven causes, seven headlines. They are all big subjects which you might be able to talk about, inshallah, if you get the time, but the important thing is that these are the main major causes of ghaflatul qalb, of the fact that our hearts can go dead or go to sleep. And as I said, the whole purpose of what we're talking about today and last week is, let's make use of this time, let's make use of this Ramadan, let's wake up our hearts, let's start, let's make a determination and get started, not tomorrow, but today, now. Let's make the determination to start walking the straight path to Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على الرسول المصطفى. So brothers and sisters, the Quran has a very interesting ayah, which if we think about, might help us to wake up a bit. It says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who have forgotten about Allah, and Allah has made them forget themselves. This is the state of a lot of us today. Allah comes in the back seat, if you like. We don't remember Allah. We remember Allah when we have time. You know what? I'll pray when I find time. Or I've got important commitments. So everything else comes in the back seat. You forget about Allah, and Allah will make you forget yourself. He will make you get more involved in life. He will make you get more indulged in life. Until you find one day that life has passed by and you never even started to walk the path. So they say that the body can be poisoned with poison. And the heart can be poisoned by ma'asi, by ill doings, by wrongdoings. So if you continue to do wrongdoings, if you continue to do haram things, if you continue to do things that you know are wrong, you are poisoning your heart. Just like if you continue to eat poison, you know, poisonous things, you are poisoning your body. And you know what happens if you keep poisoning your body? Eventually your body will die. Or it will get afflicted, to become sick. Same thing happens to the heart. If we continue to do ma'asi, if we continue to do wrong things, despite knowing that they are wrong, then our hearts become sick and they eventually die. Now, another ayah in the Quran, it says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرِ. So, prayer actually helps to avoid الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, the sins and ill doings. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرِ, but the remembrance of Allah is even more. So the remembrance of Allah, this is the answer to, you know, to a lot of the problems we have. The first step is to make a decision to try and remember Allah more. Be aware of Allah. Be aware of His existence. Be aware of what we're doing here. Now, as I said last week, and unfortunately again, we even didn't have the time to get into it. The first step, as I said, if you feel that you've had this awakening, if you feel that you've got the wake-up call, and you thought about it and you decided to walk the path, start today. Don't postpone it till tomorrow, because shaitan is not going to leave you alone. Your nafs is not going to leave you alone. It's going to try and persuade you, try to dissuade you. So do it today. And the first step is a tawbah. The first step is repentance. The first step is repentance to Allah. And it's so beautiful to know that if you repent to Allah, all your sins are forgiven. So if you make a genuine repent, and inshallah we might talk about repentance during Ramadan in great detail, but if you do a genuine repentance, it's as if you've just been born today. Everything before is forgotten. And that's why, you know, when we have people who accept Islam, people who revert to Islam, we ask them to do dua for us, because these people are pure people. The moment they accept Islam, the moment they repent to Allah, the moment they become Muslims, Allah has forgiven all their sins. So they are very, very pure people. And the moment any of us does tawbah, proper tawbah, and we will talk about what's meant by proper tawbah, you are forgiven. It's not only you're forgiven. As a matter of fact, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. All the sins that you've done become changed into good things, into good deeds. So your book is full of good deeds if your book was full of lots of sins. So tawbah is such a great thing. However, to close up, because we're getting again short of time, just to remind you that Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. تَوَّابِين in Arabic is صِغَةْ مُبَلَغًا. It means that it's not about repentance once. So it's not that, you know, you repent once and that's it. No, tawwabin means that it's something that you do continuously, every day. Prophet ﷺ said, أَنِّي أَسْتَغْفِرُ الْيَوْمَ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. The Prophet used to repent every day 70 times, and in other hadith 100 times. So repentance is an ongoing thing. It's something that you do continuously along the path to Allah, inshaAllah. So, just take home message. Ramadan is on the doors, it's next week. Don't postpone till next week even. Make the decision today. Today can be the first day in the rest of your life. Today can be the first day in your path to Allah. Today can be the first day on the straight path. It is the straight path that's going to lead you to Jannah, inshaAllah. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك، واغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا، وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا، وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيدكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم، وأقم الصلاة يرحمكم الله.